Today's lesson comes from Luke 12, verses 22 through 34. Hear God's word. Jesus continued this subject with his disciples. Don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, and more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free, unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God, and you count far more. Has anyone, by fussing before the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? And if fussing can't even do that, well then why fuss at all? Walk into the fields. Look at the wildflowers. They don't fuss with their appearance. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. And if God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you and take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. So steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and you'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends, and the Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. So be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven that's far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. May God give us understanding of his holy word. And let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. For some reason, it seems that our brains are always working overtime. Some of us heard the studies long ago that talk about how only a small portion of our brains are actually used. So it was very interesting to read this last week that more current studies show that actually all of our brain is in use all the time. And that means even at night. And if you're one of those folks who sometimes wake up in the middle of the night with all the voices busy, worrying, active, and it's hard to get back to sleep, well, you know for sure yourself that, yep, that brain is always working. In fact, wouldn't it be great sometimes if we could just shut it off? Because unfortunately, it seems like too much of our brain time is spent in worry. And do you know the studies show that only about 2% of the things that we worry about are things that we can even do anything about? Yeah, there was actually a survey that was taken about that, and it said that typically 98% of the time, that other 98%, 40% is wasted on things that never even happen. 40%. 15% is wasted on things that turn out better than expected. So right there, you've got 55% of the stuff we're worrying about that is just completely useless. And then there's another 35% that's wasted on things that can't be changed anyway. So no matter what you do, you can't do anything about it. So why worry about it? And finally, 8% is on little, silly, goofy things that really, in the end of the day, don't even matter. Now, you see him? Do you think he's worried? No. He's out there in the grass, and he is loving every minute. And part of that freedom comes because he's not carrying all that worry that you and I carry. And guess what? He's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. But this thing called worry, why does it happen? And how come we can't get past it? Well, a lot of times we're under the fake belief that somehow if we just worry more, we can change things. We can fix things. That we somehow think that worry is the same as being prepared, and they're not the same. They're two very, very different things. Worry is just a random brain. They're just thoughts that are running around wild in our heads that, in the end of the day, accomplish nothing for us except to keep us and our time and our minds and our energies from doing things that actually have some value. Because it's a little bit like your electricity. You know, you choose how you use it. And it can either be used for things that are helpful, like when you need to turn on a light to see something, turn on the oven, or things that you don't need, just wasted energy. For example, when people leave the lights on, we all get annoyed when people leave the lights on in the room and nobody's there. It's just wasted. Or some of our little gadgets and devices that stay plugged in all the time and they suck energy out. They actually have little devices now that help you to know which are the wasters, so you're not wasting it. But our energy is the same. And when we're using it for things that have no value or can't help us, then it's keeping us from doing the things, from putting it towards the things that can make a difference. So what do we do about all this? How do we try to find a way to tame our worries? How do we find a way to quiet them down so that we can use our energy for things that actually matter? Well, the starting place is to identify it. Have you ever noticed how sometimes you just have this sort of vague anxiety? You can't even quite put your finger on what it is, but there's something there. The first thing to do is to really examine your thoughts. What are you thinking about? What are you worried about? That's the starting place. Name it. Identify it. Step number two is to turn it over to God. Now that sounds really easy, and I know on one hand you're thinking, okay, yeah, I can do it, but will that really do anything? Yes. It's a starting place, as you name it, to actually say, okay, God, take it. Take it. And then there's the next step. You know that nature hates a void, yes? So when you've let go of that worry, what do you fill that gap with so it's not just filled with other worries, with other things? What you do is you start thinking about what you're grateful for. What are the things that are good in your life? What are the things that are working in your life? What are the ways that God has been present in your life? What are the ways that He's answered your prayers? What are the ways that He's surprised you? What are the ways that just your state of being is right in this moment, right now? The third thing is you trust that whatever you can do is enough. And you think about the things you can do. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and we think, what have I got? Maybe your financial situation is really tight and you think, okay, I'd love to help those folks in need, but I can hardly pay my own rent. How can I do that? Or we look at our gifts and our talents and we think, you know, I don't have a voice like she does. I don't have the ability to, you know, cook like he can. I don't have the ability to draw. I don't have the business sense that some, you know, we can make these long lists, which also increase our worry. When we're thinking about all the things that we can't do, it again, it robs us of the energy to do the things that we can do. And you know, even little things make a difference. Sometimes that's hard to believe, but even the smallest things that we can do make a difference. Even the smallest things that we can do, we don't even need to know how they benefit others, but they can multiply. That kind word that you extend to a stranger, that can make a difference that then gets passed on to someone else. But if you're too afraid to do anything because you feel it's not enough, then you will never do anything at all. And one of the greatest encouragement and words that a mentor and friend gave me years ago, in fact, when I was trying to decide whether I could be pastor at Oxford Second, and I called him for help. I said, I want to be full-time up there, but I can't be. I want to live there, but I can't. So how can I be their pastor if I'm 55 miles away, and how can I do the things that I want to do? And he said, Joycey, whatever you can do is enough. That's when I picked up the phone and I said yes, because I trusted that. Now, there are still more things that I want to do, but if I let those get in the way, I'll do nothing. And that's true for all of us. We can't let the things we can't do get in the way of the things that we can do. And finally, the fourth way, as I mentioned before, get out of the worry mode by shifting your focus to the gratitude mode. Constantly be on the lookout for all the things that you can be grateful for. Know that as you're really seeing the world, like right this minute, as we mentioned earlier, I bet there are 50 things that you could come in here this morning and be worried about. There are things that we mentioned for prayer requests. I'm sure there are family members that you're concerned of, friends, perhaps your own situation. There are so many things. But right now, how are things going right this second? We're in this beautiful, peaceful spot. We're together. We've got the beautiful trees, the tranquil water. It's beautiful sitting here and watching the boaters out on the lake. And just to be in this moment and enjoy. There is something in every moment to be grateful for if you're paying attention. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's something in every moment to be grateful for if you're paying attention. There's one more thing that I want you to think about as you're trying to sort through how to tame this worry thing. Sometimes we think we want something, and then when God offers it, we settle for less because we're afraid. There's this wonderful story that's told by the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. He talks about an emperor who's touring his whole domain, and he's receiving the accolades of his people. And he comes across this village square, and there's this young farmer. He's very brash, very brazen, and he steps out of the crowd, and he comes up to the emperor's carriage, and he says, Sir, grant me a special blessing. Grant me a special blessing. And the king, much to the villager's surprise, says, Of course, my good man, get into my carriage and come with me. Live in my palace, eat at my table, marry my daughter, be my son-in-law. The man was so excited. He was filled with delight to be the emperor's son-in-law. How great is that? But then he started thinking about it. You know what that would mean? Mean no more Saturday nights down at the pub with his buddies. And me, no more hanging out in his comfortable old peasant clothes. He'd have to get all dressed up all the time. He'd have to take a bath, maybe every week. Scary. And he'd have to clean his fingernails, and he'd have to learn appropriate manners. The more he thought about it, the more he thought, that's not for me. And so finally he said, no, I'd be way too uncomfortable. It would pull me out of all my comfortable customs. It'd be too hard to live up to. It would just take too much out of me. Sire, if you want to do something for me, just give me a plot of ground, a farm, house of my own. But to live in your palace and eat at your table and be your son-in-law, it's just too much. And so he declined. Very often, whether we even realize it, we're hanging on to our worries, we're hanging on to our cares, we're hanging on to an anxious-filling life by choice, and we may not even realize it. God has so much to offer us. But the question is, are we willing to set aside our fears? Are we willing to set aside our stress? Are we willing to open ourselves to see what God is giving us and to fill our lives with that instead? Now, before I close, I want to take you just through a simple exercise. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. It's safe, honest. No meteors falling. Nothing's going to blow up in our face. Just close your eyes for just a moment. And I want you to think of something that is weighing on you heavily. Something that is worrying you and making you fearful. Okay. Now say with me. Take it, Lord, and let it go. Let him take it. Release it. Take a deep breath. Just breathe in peace and let out fear. Breathe in again. Deep breath. Breathe in peace and breathe out worry. Now think for a moment, in this moment, of something that you are grateful for. Fill your heart and your spirit with something you're so thankful for. Something that reminds you of just how good life is. Claim it. Embrace it. Embrace it. Now ask God to show you what you can do. Show you what you can do. That's good, not just for yourself, but for others. Show you what you can do, knowing that whatever you can do is enough. Dearest Lord, remove our worries and cares. Remind us that you who cares about the bird in the sky, the lily in the field, you care even more for us, that you've created us for something special, and that you will provide for us so that we, in turn, can share with others, so that all of us might be a caring, loving family. In your name we pray. Amen.